Hello and welcome. My name is Rima, and I started this podcast because everyone I know has something valuable to say based on their career or lifestyle or where they're at in life right now. And I thought, why not share that? So this is about reconnecting with friends, meeting some new ones perhaps, and sharing some insight along the way. Thank you for listening. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Chatter and Laughs for 2021. I'm very excited to have my friend Mark Pacheri join me to kick off this year. Mark and I have known each other for close to 20 years now. We met through my husband, and Mark is a frontline worker. He is in the nursing industry. He's been in the industry for over a decade. He's currently an operating room nurse at ClearPoint Health Network. And prior to that, Mark worked in the operating room at Sunnybrook Hospital for many years. Thank you, Mark, for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I feel very blessed and lucky to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time.
I know. Unfortunately, I can't see people in person for this podcast, which was the original plan, but it's still great to catch up for sure. So I think I want to start by asking you about your journey into nursing and what made you decide to get into the industry.
So getting into the industry, I think probably could have went two ways for me. Being Filipino, I probably could have been a nanny or a nurse. And I think I chose wisely and opted to be a nurse. But I wonder if it would have paid better. I'm not quite sure.
Perhaps. And I know that your mom was a nurse for many years. Did she influence your direction into the industry at all?
Oddly enough, that's a great question, because I don't think that she actually tried to steer us in that way. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was intrinsic all along. And we just kind of gravitated to it. I'm an operating nurse, room nurse. My sister's also an operating room nurse, and my mom was an operating room nurse, obviously. So we had early exposure back in the day into operating room like settings before people cared about privacy issues and stuff like that. You know,
wow.
It was fun when my mom would take us to work and we saw a lot of nutty.
So I feel like you're not a kid that was afraid of blood at all.
No, I can, it takes a lot to gross me out, and I can probably eat lunch through a lot of things that most people couldn't.
Yeah, I bet. So the COVID-19 pandemic has undoubtedly had a huge impact on your field, and nurses have been on the front lines from the very beginning. What has this past year been like for you?
This past year for me? I don't really know if much has changed. I mean, I think I got a dog in 2012, so I think I've been socially distancing since 2012.
That's what I said to my husband when all this happened too.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that being a nurse and just you're always, for me personally, and I think for a lot of nurses also, you're always constantly prepared, and you're also conditioned to expect the worst. So in terms of nursing practice and the way that we nurses function, like for like living in a condo, I feel like it would be foolish for anyone to assume that no one in this building, even though you don't hear about it, has COVID-19. Like there's hasn't been one person in like 700 like potential residents that live here.
Yeah.
So, you know, we treat it like, or at least I've been taught to use universal precautions. So you just expect that your neighbor, that somebody beside you, anybody that you come in contact with has something going on, and you act accordingly.
Yeah. So your precautions probably started way earlier than most people, even though, I mean, the news was, we were hearing about it, but the real lockdowns didn't really start till a little later, right?
Yeah.
So I guess though, for you though, those precautions were sort of already in place a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. what are the moments that stood out to you the most? Like some that were positive, I guess, or negative or frustrating?
For me, the most positive thing that I've seen, and just from watching on TV and world, is nurses worldwide, like going into work every day, putting their lives at risk and putting the lives of others before them. Like, it's just huge for me. Like, you, every day without question, like they don't stop. All they do is just go to work, do their jobs, keep people alive, try to take care of people. And, you know, it's with no recognition whatsoever, not looking for recognition to begin with, but for the sake of others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's definitely been a huge appreciation for nurses and for the medical industry overall, I would say, this past year, which you're right. I mean, it's sad that it takes for something like this to happen, because it's not like they don't put their lives at risk, you know, at different other times as well. I mean, different scenarios, obviously, depending, but it has been nice to see the appreciation. I'm sure there's been a frustration too, though, as well.
Definitely. I think what frustrates me most is, you know, people that are a little more self-absorbed and don't really recognize, and maybe not had contact with any sort of COVID, you know, having a family member contract COVID or anything.
Yeah.
You know, feeling that they're just immune and they're never going to get COVID. You know, it's tiring for a lot of nurses to see when, you know, there's a huge mask rebellion.
Yes.
And, you know, anti-mask parades and people that just go about their days like there's like the lockdown doesn't mean anything, right? It doesn't affect mm-hmm. them. But, you know, and you see nurses that just watch parades of people gather for no reason at all, other than to feel that their civil liberties are being trampled.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they're risking their lives and potentially the lives of their families as they went while they go to work, right?
And it's difficult because you would never wish COVID on anyone.
Yeah.
But until you get it, or until you have a family member that has been afflicted by it, like mm-hmm. then your perspective will change. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, I can attest to that. I've had family members affected.
Yes.
I'm sure you have colleagues who are working in hospitals around the city right now. What kind of feedback have you been hearing from them?
Generally that it's just, you know, tired. Some mm-hmm. of these nurses like work, you know, 12-hour shifts. And again, it seems like it doesn't seem like, again, it to some degree, it doesn't seem recognized, right? Like they're working and they're putting it all on the line mm-hmm. and then they still have to go home to their families and, you know, to watch on the news or just in general, you know, everybody has that friend that doesn't believe in wearing a mask.
Right. Yeah. So frustrating, truly.
Yeah. And it's exhausting.
Exhausting for sure. And I can't imagine for you who are in that industry to have those conversations would be very difficult, especially if it's with a friend or a family member.
Yeah. Like I've been wearing a mask for the better part. I can't even tell you how long. I wear a mask every day for at least 8 hours a day. So does wearing a mask suck? Yeah, it absolutely sucks. But
Has to be done. Works.
Yeah, you don't want a surgeon performing a surgery on you without their mask. Like that just doesn't work like that. And anyone that, you know, that would complain and say that, you know, they're experiencing a decrease in their oxygen intake and all of the other medical issues that happen, it doesn't make any sense, because unless I've been affected, and I have no idea that I've been affected by this. So
No, I can imagine that frustration for sure. It is so frustrating because there's so much scientific evidence behind it, and yet people are insisting on demonstrating against wearing masks. It's it's hard to compute.
It is. I've lost all patience for it. So I do find myself a lot more irritable when it comes to the great mask debate.
Well, we are going on a year now, right? So I'm sure it's taking its toll on you. And like you said, I mean, it's not fun to wear a mask, but we have to wear it, right? So just everyone suck it up.
And exactly. Suck it up. And we only have to wear it when we have to wear it. Like,
exactly.
Should I put mine on now?
Right. Exactly. We don't have it on now. We're remote. We're speaking good. Remotely. We're good. Yeah. No, I hear you. And it's interesting because when the whole mask scenario started, there was a lot of hesitancy at first from a lot of people. Like, they truly felt that they were, like you said, people were infringing on their rights somehow. And I guess, I mean, it's also a cultural thing. I mean, you know, in Asia, they wear masks quite a lot.
Yeah.
And not just when it's COVID-19. So.
Yeah, they jumped on that early. They knew what was going on, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How are you managing to ensure your physical and mental health during this time? Any particular routines or resources? Please share.
So, for myself, I probably said I've been socially distancing since 2012.
I don't know if that's completely accurate. You're a very social person.
A pseudo social person, I guess, when it suits me. But honestly, and maybe it's because I'm a single guy. I have a dog, and my routine, or his routine, is my routine. So he is my resource.
Yep.
And I've, you know, especially in the first phase of the lockdown, it was quite eye-opening to me that how we mirrored mirrored his routine. So I'm like, wow, I'm taking a lot of naps. I'm like, well, maybe we should get up and go for a walk. Maybe we should eat. Maybe we should go to the bathroom. Maybe we should take another nap.
It's a good life.
And I'm like, maybe we should stare at each other for a bit, take another nap, and then repeat. So I've found, you know, obviously for myself that, I mean, having a sidekick has been paramount for me, but I don't disprove like the effects that it had. I've seen it on a lot of my other friends that are not used to staying home and being antisocial and
the extroverts.
Right.
It's taking its toll for sure. And I mean, it's not to diminish that in any way. I think, and rightly so, a lot of people are struggling, right? But I guess as a nurse, you kind of look at things as black and white sometimes, right? And it's like,
people are, I get it, people are suffering. I'm lucky, I'm fortunate, I have a job.
Yes.
Go to, and you know, people have it a lot worse than I do. I don't want to know what it's like. I don't want to be backed into a corner. I don't want to know what it's like living check to check or not expecting anything like that. So, it's a good profession to be in for me, but it's probably not for everybody.
Yeah. And I mean, just, I guess for me personally, we have a dog now, as you know, so I've been going out for a lot of walks. I was actually doing walks beforehand too, and I found that's really helped me, just getting outside and going for walks. And now with the puppy, it's just another reason to get outside and walk.
And that's what I'm like, that's where my dog has become my resource, because dogs crave routine, and whether we like it or not, we're all kind of creatures of habit. So going on those long walks and spending time with the dog has been a bonus for me. So
it helps for sure. Has the pandemic changed you at all as a nurse, would you say, or not so much based on what we've been talking about?
I find myself a lot more irritable,
mm-hmm.
a lot more political than I used to be.
And right.
I don't know why. On a side where we knew what was happening in the United States and how that affected the world globally.
Yeah.
I don't have the patience for people that don't trust science. Yeah. And not to say that, you know, science hasn't failed in some ways.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes to anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers, especially people in the cohort of our age group.
Yes.
Talk about being anti-vaxxers. And I'm like, you know, there's a pretty good chance you were vaccinated as a child.
It is interesting with the COVID-19 vaccine. You know, there's, I guess because of the time it took to make, and because the whole world was working on it, and that's why we got it. We've gotten it when we have, but yeah, there's a lot of hesitancy around it for sure. Right.
Hard to understand the science of it. Like you know, I had the opportunity to get my first shot and I jumped mm-hmm. at the chance. I was like, where do I go? Sign me up. Like, yeah. I'll be there right now. And, you know, the general response, I did post it on my social media that I did get the shot.
Yes, I did see that.
And, you know, you'll always get the odd, are you craving human flesh yet? Or have you grown like right. a nipple?
Yeah.
And it's like, the vaccine, it's...
Yeah. It's to save your life.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not a doctor, and I'm sure there are people out there that are affected in some way with vaccines. And there's a reason why it's recommended not everyone gets it for certain allergic reasons, right?
Exactly.
But it is a science, and it's going to save so many lives. And you know, when we talk about the vaccine, I recently saw an image of a nurse on Twitter that got her vaccine and was crying from relief of it.
Wow. Yeah.
And I just, that image really shook me, because I thought, wow, like there's all these, everyone and all this noise about the vaccine and it's too soon and the hesitancy, and I'm not going to judge and say, like, you know, everybody should be wanting to jump on it. You're a nurse, you know, you're in that industry, but to see that image of, oh my gosh, like, thank you, you know, thank you for giving this to me.
Right?
Yes. Like, I can feel safe now in some way going to work and safe for my, at home for my family. And yeah, I thought that was a really powerful image and message.
Yeah. Like, I can totally relate to that, because as soon as I got the shot, I was like, do I get to take my mask off? Do I get to hug everybody? Like,
yeah,
this is it. But not to say that this is 100% foolproof,
yeah,
but just the security of knowing that, you know, my body mm-hmm. is working now to recognize COVID-19 and build antibodies against it. Like,
yeah, you know,
again, vaccines aren't for everybody. Flu mm-hmm. shot for everybody. I'm a huge flu shot guy. I get a flu mm-hmm. shot every year. Does the flu shot work for Mark? Yes. Mark gets a flu shot every year. It's, again, like I said, occupational hazard.
Mm-hmm.
Does Rima need a flu shot every year? Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she doesn't even get the flu. Does she need the flu shot? No. That's mm-hmm. Rima's making her best educated decision on the well-being of her life.
Yeah. And I think we should be also reminded of the privilege of being able to get this vaccine.
Absolutely. And the fact that, like you said before, that this happened in less than a year.
Yeah.
Like, it's taken longer for vaccines to be developed prior to that. But, you know, the mm-hmm. world of science and technology.
Yep. And the whole world working on one thing, right? So.
Right.
I mean, it's impacted the entire world. We just talked about nurses all over the world who are, you know, going to work and exposed. And it really has been mind-blowing in a way. If you could go back to 10 months ago when this all started, what would you say to yourself? What would you want to say to yourself?
Well, to be honest with you, I would probably slap myself in the face first and say, you're going to develop an online gambling problem with some of your closest friends. 10 months ago, I would have not have known that. I was like, wow, really? That's what's going to happen? 10 months ago, I wouldn't, you know, I would have told myself that, you know, don't take your barber for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to go see your barber and not letting your eyebrows spiral out of control. Those are, yeah. I mean, those are the biggest things for me. Like, I mean, it was quite the adjustment having to not see people and then adjusting to Zooming with a bunch of friends all the time just to see each other.
Right.
Every Friday night. And willingly donate money to each other.
That's cool, though. That's great that you guys have done that. I mean, that's part of keeping your mental health in check, too, right?
Yeah. But I find for some of the married guys that it works out better for them because they don't actually have to leave the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's easier to commit to that social event.
And then, you know, not having to explain that they're going out to go play poker.
Right. Do you think the pandemic has fundamentally changed things in the medical field overall? I mean, I know that they've just developed a vaccine that they've never done, a type of vaccine they've never done before. So, I mean, that right there for sure has had its impact. Has anything else changed? I mean, I know you talked about the fact that in a way, your industry has always been cautious in operating rooms and things like that. So has it changed the industry, in your opinion?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, for me, it feels like it's business as usual.
Yeah.
You know, you treat everybody that you come across like they've got something and you act accordingly.
Yeah.
But
There's always that precaution in place.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in, I'm going to say the 80s. I don't know if it was the 80s. Like, it was AIDS.
Yeah.
AIDS was a big deal. And, you know, people really didn't know how to function around that. And, you know, like, you know, wouldn't use utensils.
Yes.
Somebody had AIDS or, you know, if your waiter had AIDS and you didn't, like, just crazy things like that. But look how the world's evolved now.
Yeah.
In terms of the precaution and recognizing it, it's not so life threatening, right?
Yeah. 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 I agree. I feel like, as much as there is a nervousness around being exposed to someone who has it, but I feel that that was more of a real strong fear early on. Now I feel that it's more, I've definitely come across someone who's had it. In fact, I may have even had it and not have even known, right, early on in the year. I think it's more just about the common sense of do what you can, wear a mask, wash your hands, follow the lockdown rules, and go about your life as best as you can, right?
Yeah, I saw where it, like what Dr. Fauci was saying, and he generally wearing a mask, definitely number one, but it's not putting yourself in that situation. And when you're in that situation of crowds, you're most susceptible to getting it, right? If you're not, and if you're socially distancing properly, you're going to minimize the risk, right? Like, you know.
Well, that was a lesson that they learned a very long time ago from pandemics in the past, right? That is the number one thing prevention that you can do is avoid the large gatherings.
It would be nice if the majority of people could all progress to that one goal.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard. You know, when you just going to the liquor store and people need to go to the liquor store. I'm not saying that you don't. I was in the liquor store the other day and I was with a friend. Or no, this was like a couple weeks ago. And I have allergies and I sneezed.
Mm-hmm.
and sneezing in public, and I'm wearing a mask, and my friend completely ran away from me. And I was like, and I sneezed twice, and I'm like, wow, why are you doing this to me in public? Like, you can't, I'm just sneezing. It's not a crime to sneeze.
And I know, it is strange now.
And now I find, like, there's always an immediate after I cough or sneeze. It's my allergies. Like,
right? Yeah.
It's seamless, like, so.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think it's almost as if the world has changed more than the medical industry in a way. It's more the world right now.
Yeah.
Just basic things like that where you would sneeze all the time and people, you know.
Yeah.
Think twice about it. It's a big deal now.
Now, as soon as you hear like a remote cough or sneeze, like shoulders are up and you're kind of like.
Yeah.
In squirmy mode, so.
Yep. Well, I mean, we have a vaccine, so there is some good news, right? So hopefully, and with the lockdown, hopefully the numbers are going to start going down. So what would you say has been the one common myth about your field that you always hear about, not necessarily regarding COVID-19, but just in general?
The common myth, I think, is when it's portrayed on TV, and I'm like, you know, life in a hospital isn't Grey's Anatomy.
Right. I was actually just talking about this with Tad the other day, how frustrating it must be for lawyers to watch, you know, courtroom scenes on TV, and how frustrating it must be for nurses and doctors to watch Grey's Anatomy.
Right. Like, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. And in some Cinderella hospital, it might happen to, you know, some doctor looks at the nurse. And
right.
But in terms of Grey's Anatomy for me, like, you know, I get the, do you work with a lot of hot nurses? And I'm like, you know, it's a lot of gray and it's a lot of anatomy that you don't want to look at. That's my Grey's Anatomy. So,
yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to add in general?
Maybe I think like back in the day, and I could be completely way off, but I think that there was a time when nurses actually had clout and some sort of respect. But now I feel, especially in today's overburdened healthcare system, you know, the level of expectation that people have when they have a loved one in the hospital, mm-hmm. is just so outlandish. So for me, and maybe it's a reason why I gravitated to the operating room, because I did work on the floor for a long time, but maybe I just wanted to tell a lot of your listeners about the F word when you have a family member that, you know, unfortunately, like if you're unfortunately in the situation where you have a family member that has to be in the care of a hospital, let's resort back to the F word. And the F word is family.
Right.
Family. A nurse wants to keep your loved one alive.
Yeah.
At all costs, right? So things that family can do and step up to do is a world of difference, because generally when you have a nurse that's in a hospital, they have like at least four or five patients. Right. So that four or five moms or dads, uncles or aunts or, you know, relatives that they're trying to keep alive, that they're mm-hmm. trying to get their meds for and get them ready for tests. So family needs to step up a lot more. Like, you've never helped your mom to the bathroom before.
Right.
It should be something easy to do. And it's time for family to step up. Like, you know, family, I've had family members ask, can you give my dad a shave and a shower? And I'm like, maybe you could give your dad a shave and a shower while you go get your dad's meds ready.
Right. Yeah. I guess there's, I'm sure that you've experienced a lot of abuse, you know, that nurses must experience a lot of, because I mean, emotions are high naturally, and you all now have a lot on your plate, and it's almost a reminder, like, to treat you as a person and to remember that it's their family member that's in the bed, and to, like you said, I guess, step up in a way.
Right. Like, you've been admitted to a hospital, not the Royal York.
Right.
So when nurses see family members step up and actually are there for their loved ones, it's a world of difference. And you see a complete change, because, you know, it's not hard to see the tired nurse, then the irritable nurse when, you know, when you're working a 12-hour shift and you've got every family member in your ear wanting to do, can you do this? And it's, you know, in addition to that, that heavy burden of multitasking through multiple patients, right? Like, it's a big deal when family members can step up
and be more involved
and help, right? And, you know, maybe it's unreasonable for me to be saying that, but it, you know, and when you, your family member wants you to be there, right? And which we could segue into the nursing home problem that we're facing right now. Granted, we are in a lockdown and family members are not allowed in there, but it's difficult.
I can't imagine having a family member in a nursing home during this past year. I was just thinking about back about what you were saying about family stepping up when loved ones are in the hospital and things like that. And obviously, you know, emotions are high during that time naturally, but do you, did you find that you were surprised at the lack of support that patients would get in general, or
from their family members? Like, I mean, it's blatant neglect sometimes, right? Like, you know, it's difficult to say, like, you know, sometimes you have young kids and you're in and out, but you know, you got to make your time. You got to make time for your mom.
Right. Yeah.
You got to make time for your dad. Like, you just,
And your grandparents who are in long-term care or parents. Okay. Well, thank you, Mark.
Well, we can't leave it on a downer like that.
I know.
Well, I can actually give you a memorable experience. We were all on a flight together and you hear that boom, and you hear that somebody with medical background, please report to the, I'm sleeping and I get the nudge from Dennis. Hey, get up. And this goes back to when I told you before, it takes a lot to get me out of my seat. Like, I need to see
emergency
stuff happening. And I'm like, dude, I'm not getting up. What do I got to get up for? He's like, you got to get up. You got to go check on what's going on over there. Yeah. So when I did get up and, I guess it was in the middle of the plane, and, it was great because four other nurses gravitated to that same spot where, the flight attendant had needed us.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
People.
And we just started doing the checklist off of what was going on and what was happening. And then the one nurse, she stepped up. She said, oh, I got this. I'm ICU. And I'm like, you got this, ICU? And she's like, I got this. I'm like, great. Went back to my seat, looked at Dennis. I'm like, you see, there's like four other nurses here, man. We're good. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys have, I mean, I know that you don't have the schooling of doctors, obviously, but you're staring at the same people on an operating table. So I feel like the amount of knowledge that you must absorb just from watching doctors do their job must be immense.
Well, and I feel like I can do a surgery also, because I've done it so many times. There's a, I don't know, there's a certain satisfaction when you become the second set of hands that a surgeon that a surgeon needs, and the sense of relief when you walk into a room and that surgeon sees you and he's like, oh my God, thank God it's you.
You feel, you know, like you've been doing something right all these years.
I mean, in terms of nurses in general and anticipation skills and being able to anticipate, you know, 2-3 steps ahead of somebody, it's a nice feeling.
Yeah.
When someone can just hold out their hand and you just,
you know what they're going to ask for.
And it's always like, surgeons like to say this a lot. Don't give me what I ask for. Give me what I need. So surgeons are not immune to making mistakes. And
any advice for anyone who's in nursing school right now or wanting to become a nurse?
I don't want to deter anybody from this profession. What I will say to, and this has happened to me a lot, you can't fake being a nurse. And I've encountered a lot of people that when they say they want to become a nurse, it's usually because they want to work with babies.
Right.
Hang out and, you know, take care of little babies and change little baby diapers. To get to little baby diapers, you have to go through a lot of adult diapers.
Right.
So, But I wouldn't change it for the world. I, you know, as much as I might seem jaded sometimes by the profession, I it's obviously what I was destined to do, and I do love it. And there is a great satisfaction when it comes to helping people.
Well, you're helping save lives.
Right. And it's always nice to be the resident nurse in a social circle of friends where people are like, hey, we need... Yeah. Well, I just said that I don't like to be on duty off the clock. But, it's nice to feel needed at times.
Yeah. Well, I think it's appropriate that you're wearing a Justice League t-shirt today. Since you are a hero this year.
Wow. There are, there are a lot of nurses right now that, huge heroes. I just I'm in awe of a lot of my colleagues and what they've been able to accomplish in these tough times.
Despite, this being a tough year and despite the pandemic, I feel that there's hope. You know, we've got a vaccine now, and we're going to come out of this, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. No, I mean, vaccine for me is huge. And I'm forever the optimist when you are prescribed a vacation instead of a vaccine. Let's make vacations mandatory again.
Yeah.
As opposed to vaccines, which I'm all for. But
Yeah. So let's have both.
Yeah. Let's have vacations and vaccines. Yeah, we should strive for that. And anybody that gets a vaccine, I'm happy for you.